Hey, it's Eric G. Around the House is sponsored by Baldwin Hardware. For 75 years, Baldwin Hardware has been known for its first-class quality and craftsmanship in door and cabinetry hardware. As an alumnus of the Baldwin Hardware Design Council, I can say I have seen the details and quality from design to the finished product. If you're looking for a new style and old-world craftsmanship, I can tell you there is only one Baldwin Hardware. Check out what would look great in your home at baldwinhardware.com.
Get you on the radio, yeah, you gotta
get on the radio. Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G, hour number two. This is where we take your calls on home improvement, and we talk about it all show long here. 503-417-9595. That's 503-417-9595. Or you can catch us on the toll-free line, which is 877-733-1011. All right. It's been a good show so far. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for joining us if you're just joining us now. Here's the thing. When we're talking home improvement, there's a lot of different things you got to take into account. And I want you to follow along because we talk a lot of different topics all week long. And that's over on the Facebook page, which is Around the House with Eric G. If you dive into that, you will see me talking about if a recall comes up or something, or if there's a hot topic that has come up, we will dive into that on there and have a good time. And we've had some really big topics this week talking about everything from big fees for affordable housing to, I talked about heating and air conditioning, and I tell you what, air conditioning is the subject of the week with all this heat that we got going around all over the country, all over the Northwest here. So it's something you can maybe help you get through the week with, and that's Around the House with Eric G. Well, we've been talking interior design last hour. This hour, I want to talk about creating more space in your home, and maybe that's a garage conversion. Maybe you've got a garage conversion, to be honest, that you've got now that you want to get that garage back. Because here's the thing. You've got to be careful when you're trying to add square footage to your home. First off, you want to do it legally, because these days with building departments out there, they really want you to be doing it right. And if you just, you know, throw up an interior wall inside there, leave the garage door inside and convert it, it's one of those things that you've got to be a little bit careful with, because you can hurt the value of your home. You can maybe create an unsafe space. Like if you were to make that into a bedroom for somebody and you have a non-egress window in there where, you know, if you had a fire or something like that, that someone couldn't be rescued or escaped from. These are all things you've got to take into account, as well as what are you going to do to keep the thing energy efficient? Because when you're dealing with garages, they're typically not insulated in many cases. They're not designed for a living space. And then quite frankly, design-wise, when you walk into somebody's kitchen and you walk out a door that seems to be a garage door and you step down into another living area, it seems you're walking into somebody's converted garage. And to me, on the design side, I don't like that feel. So here's the thing. If you are hurting on parking, and you are in the style of home that people would want a garage or expect a garage, you know, it's, here's the thing. I don't like when you limit yourself when you do something. Sometimes converting a garage, you are going to really run into some issues with livability. And I like livability. You know, where are you going to keep your lawnmower? Where are you going to keep this stuff? So these things are really important. So looks like we got some calls coming in here. 503-417-9595. 503-417-9595. 877-733-1011. So I want you to plan ahead for these things, because here's the deal. When you're working on these things, I don't want you to paint yourself in a corner. It's so easy. I've done a garage conversion myself. Probably been 20 years ago when I decided, you know, I needed the space more, because I tell you what, an addition can be a very expensive option for you. Just because when you got to go in and do an addition, it's like building a small little home off the side of your house. as well as running into all the different things you've got to do, because you've got foundation, you've got to deal with heating, air conditioning, you've got to deal with electrical and plumbing if you're adding a bathroom. You can spend six figures on an addition really quick. I mean, I've seen people wanting to add a bedroom on, and you could sit there and run into a ton of issues depending on where you're trying to do it. So these things are good conversations to have, because what happens is when you go down to the permit office and you want to do this and you're getting down there and they say, hey, you can't put anything out the back, you can't put anything out the front, the sides are locked in with your setbacks, now all you have to do is go up. And that can be super expensive, but you got to plan ahead for that. Sometimes it does make sense. Hey, let's run out here to Tim in Hillsboro. Welcome to Around the House.
Hi, I have a question. I'm still in my house.
Okay.
And the inspector came out in the crawl space of my townhome.
Okay.
And he says I need to replace the low valve cap. And how do I replace that, and how much does it cost?
Well, I'm not sure what a low valve cap is.
It's a low flow valve cap.
Low flow valve cap. I'll be honest, I don't know what you're talking about with that. That's not something that's typically that I've heard called. You know, if you've got, is that a plumbing thing? Is that what they're trying to call it? It sounds like somebody's using the wrong term here, to be honest.
That's what I'm wondering. He says that I need to replace the cap because rodents would be getting in and out of there, and he found little rodent droppings.
Okay, well, if he's not talking about just the airflow, you know, vents going around the outside. Now, I have seen in crawl spaces, you know, you have a low point drain in there where that drains out and goes into a drainage system out there that might go out to the street. And I've seen caps on those. So if he's talking about the low point drain, that might be what he's talking about in there. If there's some kind of a cap on that, but I'll be honest, a low flow cap, I'm not sure what that is. That sounds like a wrong term. I haven't run into that before, and I've been doing home improvement for 20-something years. So
yeah, we listen to you all the time. I'm on my way to work, and we listen to you all the time on the way to work. Hey, cool, I got Tim. One last question.
Sure.
Up in the attic, he found where the dryer vent tube came loose from the ceiling and blew lint all over the insulation in the inside of the roof.
Okay.
Now, he says, I need to get a mold inspector in there to check out to see if I need to get rid of any mold. Is that pretty common?
When you're putting that much moisture up into that from a dryer, yeah, you could easily have some mold up there, but it might not. I mean, it could be that it just vented out well enough that you got lucky. So that might not be a horrible thing. I think since you're trying to get that thing sold, I think getting a quick mold test up there would be a good call. And, you know, somebody like Kennedy Restoration or one of those other companies can come up and knock that out pretty quick. Might not be that big a deal up there. Or if you look up in there and it's a real black mess, you could have a little bit bigger deal. But, you know, in the attic up there, yeah, you can get mold up there. But just depending on how new a house and how much airflow was in there, if it's a really closed up attic, you have a little bit more chance of having a little bit more of a chance of mold. But the only way to know is to test.
And it's relatively not too expensive. I hope not anyway.
Not too bad up there. Again, depending on how bad it is, sometimes they go up there and treat that, and it's not that big a deal, and put some preventative stuff on it.
Okay.
You know, it's just depending. I mean, if you had just a horrible mess, they're taking insulation out, and you got to spend a little bit of money up there to do it. But if it just happened recently, and it hasn't been going along, and the good news is it's just a dryer, so if you weren't doing a ton of laundry, it wasn't putting that much up in there.
Okay. Awesome, man. I appreciate for your time. Thank you.
Hey, Tim, thanks for calling in, and thanks for listening to Around the House. I appreciate it. All right, when we come back, we'll be taking all your calls. 503-417-9595. 503-417-9595. Just as soon as Around the House returns.
You know, the one she framed from late last spring of you and her in Florida.
Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement. You know, this segment is sponsored by Western Construction Systems. Is a cracked or crumbling foundation killing your real estate deal? For a free inspection, contact Western Construction Systems. The integrity of your foundation is their specialty, and that's guaranteed. CCB number 94222. Well, I want to get your calls here. We're talking about kind of additions and what you can do to your house to gain space, and especially garages. What are you going to do with that? You know, the number here in the studio, 503-417-9595. That's 503-417-9595 or toll free 877-733-1011. 877-733-1011. If you're calling out of the area, that is a great way to get a hold of us. Or, you know, if you've got an email and you don't want to call in, it's okay. ATH@KXL.com. Well, we've been talking about what to do with that space in your home. And, you know, garage conversion is one thing you see people do out there because they kind of feel like, oh, I'm just going to close up the door and, you know, I'm just going to frame that shut, take the door down, frame it shut, and call it good. Well, problems are that you run into is that, first off, it's kind of hard to undo these things sometimes. And second of all, I hate personally, from the architectural design side, what it looks when you get these things closed up. In many cases, you can tell that, oh, wow, look at the neighbor's house. The neighbor's house is the flip plan of yours, and you've got a window in the middle of the garage, and that's the best you can do, and the car pulls up in front of it, and now you've got another den or something back in there. That's the tough part when you're dealing with a garage conversion, because really, to do that, you kind of need to do that right. I mean, I like to go in there with something like that because you end up having problems. One, in many places, they're going to want you to put in a footing across the front there and actually make that an actual opening across there and actually put a wall in there. It's an exterior wall. You could put a glass door across all that, but again, it's going to look like it's a garage conversion. So there's things you got to do with that. Other thing you got to keep in mind is many times people have their water heaters and their HVAC systems out there. So that's something you've got to deal with. Now, here's the one thing. If you've got the new heat pump style, you know, high efficiency water heaters, they want those to be outside of the home. They don't want those in a conditioned space because they're taking that residual air and they're adding and taking away heat from it. So it's counterintuitive. You got it in your house because now it's taking the heat, you know, out of the air and it's trying to go that route with it. So those need to be in an exterior location that, like a garage, for instance, that's unheated. So you run into some issues with those when you put them inside. There's a lot of those that you run into problems where they say don't install them in that situation. So you could run into some issues with that. And then, like I was saying, design-wise, if you can open up into that and make it a legitimate thing, great. But I would always recommend coming up with a plan where you could replace that. You could really replace that from a garage standpoint, because most people have things they want to store in the garage. I don't care if they're not handy or they're not a DIY person, they don't have a bunch of tools or a collector car or anything like that. It's just coming up with a place to put the lawnmower and the weed eater and those things that most people with garages have to deal with. So that's the biggest issue with that. Now, one thing I would suggest to look at that you can get away with sometimes, instead of converting that garage, maybe you think about doing some outdoor living space. Maybe instead of enclosing that, you do a covered deck out back and give yourself some outdoor living space. It's in the shade that you can do an outdoor kitchen, an outdoor living area. Maybe you can convert some of that stuff around and give yourself, because really in the Northwest here, you can get 8-9 months of the time out there outside and still have an enjoyable space. Now, you know, even if it's a little bit rainy out there, you can put some ceiling heaters out there. There's a lot of things you can do to use these things when it's still 50 and 60 degrees outside and still make it comfortable. I've seen people out there with TVs and they're out there in the evenings, and even if it's 60 degrees out there, they've got a little heater and they've got a light jacket on and they're still enjoying the outside, and it's given them more square footage than what they had before. And so that's one thing to think about. And, you know, with the tiny homes, you know, out at the Street of Dreams this year, we've got a tiny home out there, which is really cool. And I can't wait to get out there and take a look at it. And you might have heard a few weeks ago, we had MJ here on the show. And that's something that I want to talk about. I'll have her call in here one of these weekends here and talk about that a little bit, because she talked about it before. And I got to go out and see that thing. And they're giving it away. That's going to be a raffle out there, kind of a bid type situation for that. So it's going to be a great deal. I'll get some more information on that and talk about it next show. But I want to really push some of that smaller living in the future. And so the tiny home thing is going to be kind of fun. So that's one of those things. If you can live in a tiny home, maybe you don't need a bigger space. Maybe it's just kind of controlling some of the stuff you have to get it dialed back in there. 503-417-9595. That's 503-417-9595 to get in the studio. And if you're listening up in the Tri-Cities, hope you're having a safe boat race weekend up there for Columbia Cup. I know that we're being preempted on the show, but if you're listening online, thanks for tuning in. I want to say thanks and good luck out there to Griggs Ace Hardware, who's a sponsor of our show up there. They've got a hydroplane up there racing. So I want to say thanks to those guys out there and good luck and a safe weekend on the course, because they're having one of my favorite races of the year. When I was a little kid, I was up there doing that and watching those races because I grew up right along the race course. So it was a good thing up that way. Well, when you're talking home improvement here in trying to convert these spaces, the other thing you need to keep in mind is so many people, when they dive into garage conversions, they miss out on a couple things, because it's a little bit harder to work with the ceilings in there, because a lot of times you've got double sheetrock and fire rock up there. I'll be honest, so many times when people get into these, I would rather on the design side maybe move the door out of the kitchen and put it into the living room. If you're going to really convert this, make it open up into the space and do something with it. If you can get into that, mask that from being the garage. Really do something with it. Maybe stop the driveway before the garage door to and put some landscaping in there to make it look like it's not. There's some creative things you can do if you're going to do that. And that's one of those things that I think a little bit of architecture and maybe even hiring somebody to do a little bit of drawings for you and help you get there is a good way to go. Now, if you're thinking about doing a second story addition, that's going to get to be a little bit more, because now you've got to go through and upgrade a lot of things. If you've got that old, you know, 1920s house or 1930s house, that's even more expensive because now you probably have a foundation without rebar in it that's not tied in, and you might have to do some significant work in the basement to get that tied in together. And many times they'll make you do a lot of seismic stuff as well as footings and things down there. I've seen just little renovations on that second floor up there in a 1920s house have to get some significant tie downs for load and for earthquake and all that other stuff that can happen. And I've seen finished basements have to get tore out just because they had to go in and put bigger footings down the middle just to hold things up. And that was just for doing a little bit of a dormer addition up on a second floor where they wanted to get a little bit more of that space. Well, I do want to get your calls today. 503-417-9595. That's 503-417-9595. Or toll free line is 877-733-1011. And make sure you shoot us an email, ATH@KXL.com. And make sure that you love, like, follow, all those things on social media. You can catch me on Instagram, Facebook, all those are the places that you do those social media things. We come back, we'll be talking more about garages just as soon as Around the House returns. Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. We're rocking it out here on a Saturday afternoon talking home improvement. And I want to get you in the conversation at 503-417-9595. That's 503-417-9595 or toll free 877-733-1011. And if you want to get any more information about Around the House, and it doesn't matter if you want to see my Morgan Day Organ segments or what you want to see, I've got all of it up there from the podcast to everything else at aroundthehouseonline.com. Well, I want to say, too, that this segment Around the House is brought to you by Adair Homes, building quality, affordable custom homes throughout the Pacific Northwest for nearly 50 years. And that's AdairHomes.com. And that's CCB number 593. All right, we've been talking about kind of trying to work with space, whether it's your garage conversion or if you want to dive into an addition. We were talking outdoor living, and I tell you what, that's one thing with Street of Dreams here in Portland coming up, and most major areas have some kind of Street of Dreams within an hour or two of them, and it's a good idea, good place to go get some ideas, because even though these homes are many times, you know, they're big, they're opulent, they're many times this $1-3 million homes when you get into metro areas. You know, Seattle used to have one. I don't know if they still do, but down here in Portland, we do. And Tri-Cities has had their version of it. So a lot of places have these, but it's a great place to get ideas, because sometimes you'll find a designer in there that really pushed the limit. And like the Portland one coming up here, that they've got a tiny home on it. I haven't seen too many tiny homes in Street of Dreams, so it's a good place to check things out. And I think, here's the thing, I'm not the biggest fan of Street of Dreams. Many times when you get into Street of Dreams, you'll see lower quality materials in certain places. Like you'll walk in and see, man, a $75 square foot piece of tile. But then you walk in and see homes that have, I'd call them lower end cabinetry, stuff that I wouldn't traditionally put in a remodel. So they are a little bit with a grain of salt. You know, when I see particle board cabinets and particle board drawer boxes in a $1 million home, I'll be honest, that's when I look at things and go, man, that is a builder grade cabinetry there. And if I'm offending you by that as a builder out there, I'm sorry, but that's my 2 cents. Take it or leave it. I just think that for long-term use, that doing a hardwood dovetail drawer box is going to do well. And I want to see undermount soft close glides. I want to see decent hardware in these things. Because, you know, when you're building a home and putting stuff in there, it especially when you're dealing with a $1 million or $2 million house, I want to see some good stuff in there. So that's just the way I look at it. And there's plenty of homes that have it. There's plenty that don't. So it wouldn't be the first time I made a builder mad from a Street of Dreams home by talking about what I see out there. So, but you know, you got to think about it with these homes. They are really pushing these things because they go in there and they've got a short amount of time to build them and they got to get them knocked out. So there's a lot of trades stepping over each other at the last minute on some of these homes just to get these things finished. And I was at one outside of our area here a few years ago where they were doing the ribbon cutting and there were still drywall guys in there finishing up and doing some repairs on walls and stuff. And they still had to do some painting that night. So some of this stuff goes, you know, really to the last minute. And when you have a bigger Street of Dreams, as a remodeler out there, I've run into that as well. It's like, okay, the last week of Street of Dreams is what day? And you can plan that the painters out there that are popular, the shower door guys, the countertop people, those 2 weeks beforehand, it's going to be tough to actually fit your project in around there. Because a lot of these guys, especially when you're dealing with higher end shower door guys, there's not 32 of them in an area. You got a handful of the really good and popular ones. They're all out there, all hands on deck dealing with that. And that fire has to, I mean, there's a ribbon cutting on that. Your project might blow out a day or two on the schedule because they're trying to knock that out. So one of the things with planning and a construction that you've got to deal with out there. So, you know, it's one of those things. I've been doing a lot of, you know, mostly this media stuff here, but I've been getting back into working with REF Construction a little bit, who's one of my contractors I work with. I don't do a lot of projects out there. And, but when I do, he's kind of the guy that I work with on my interior design stuff. And you don't hear me talk a lot about it in this show, but that's one of the things we take into account when we're dealing with these projects is when the Street of Dreams are, because some of those great contractors out there, they only have so many people that are out there working and you just got to plan ahead. And so that way you don't get caught with trying to get the project done and getting caught out of hand. So, one another little tip here around the house, 503-417-9595, 503-417-9595. Well, I wanted to say thank you. We got coming up here next week. You'll see another edition of the show here. We've got Rose City Electric coming on next week, back as one of our sponsors again. So we'll be talking electrical here again. I plan on getting them back in here in the studio so we can talk electrical. We can talk a little bit of stuff. Like last time we had them in here, we were talking, you know, how to hook up stuff for electric cars to low voltage stuff. And I just want to say thanks to those guys for coming back on board because they've been a great sponsor of the show. And that's going to be a great addition that we're going to dive into a little bit. I also want to come up in the next coming weeks. We're going to have, I want to get Robin Daly back in here to talk paint, and I got to get with her and get that on the schedule. But I want to be able to do that. And the next time she comes in, I'm going to have people call in. You guys are going to be able to call in and ask her questions. It's not going to be just a regular interview. So we're going to do that. And she is one of the premier paint experts on the West Coast and will be really good at dialing that stuff in. So if you've got those unusual paint questions, she's got a long history of being a paint expert here. I think she's third or fourth generation here in the Northwest. So I want to get her back on the show as well. And then, hey, this last week, if you missed it, I had a podcast as well that was, I've been doing this midweek podcast, which has gone really well. I'm not sure if I'm going to get to it this week because I'm going to be on vacation this week. So if I don't get to it over the weekend here before I head out, it'll skip a week here, but I try to get into some of these subjects that, maybe we don't catch on the radio, that we don't have time to. This week we were talking about affordable housing and some of the things that, cause housing to get more expensive. And, we've seen a lot of that here in the Northwest. Seattle is well out of control. Portland is just on the same path, but right behind it. So we're heading that same direction, but wanted to talk a little bit about that on the midweek podcast. So I've got about a 10 or 12 minute segment on that is up online, and you can catch it there. And it's right along with the rest of our podcasts. So you can catch us on anywhere you listen to podcasts out there, SoundCloud to anything else you're looking at. So that's just one of the things. Now, I do want to talk about, I got an email here from one of our listeners that didn't want to really get on the radio, and we get these emails from time to time, and she had a, just moved into a house and had a water leak. Well, my advice was that she had a company come in and clean it up. My problem is that they didn't come in and actually dry the space out. She had a water leak in the wall, and they haven't opened the wall up and stuff out there. So I'd start asking questions. If you have a major water leak in your house and you get a water restoration company in and they don't do a really good job of drying it out. For me personally, I like to see that wall get opened up. I want to see air dryers in there. I want to see fans going. I want to see somebody get in there as quick as possible to get that space dried out. Because if not, that chance of mold starts growing really quick. And here, if you start getting mold going, that can kind of start a route that you don't want to go down. So if you don't get a response out of them, start asking questions, and maybe you need to bring somebody else in. And I know that's kind of a wide brush, but I want to see that thing get dried out in 48 hours. If someone's not in there with fans and stuff, I'd be getting somebody else in there. All right, when we come back, we're going to take maybe one call if we can fit one in. It's always tight this last segment, and wrap up the show. Thanks for listening around the house. Way to go and a short time to get there. Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. Appreciate you guys listening to the show today. If you need anything after the show ends here, which is just in a few minutes, feel free to email me, ATH@KXL.com, or head over to the Facebook page, where I'd really love for you to join in the conversation, where you can like, you can follow, all that stuff. There's a shortcut to that, so just go up into that little search bar, which is right next to the big F up there on Facebook, and just type in @ATHKXL. That simple. Like, follow, all that stuff, and make sure you pop over to our page over there. We've got a closed group. This closed group is called Around the House Nation, and this is where we have a really cool, safe kind of place where you can post up pictures, and the only rules we have are there's no politics. And everybody has to be cool to each other. And so far, we're batting 1,000 with that. So I like that. But when you go in there, you'll see people posting up their projects. You'll see things like that. And it's really fun. I'm going to be posting up some projects I'm working on here when I get back. And if you do send me a message this week, I'm going to be a little bit, I'll be traveling. So a little bit of limited availability on there. So I might be missing out on a couple things, but I will get back to every last one of you that jumps on there. So if not, I missed it. So I promise I'll get back to you on those. So anyway, that's the best way to get a hold of us here on Around the House. And you can do that. And you'll see a lot of videos. And you'll see, if you want to know what's coming up in the next week in the show, about midweek, you'll see me post up a video where I'll be talking about what's coming up on Around the House. You can figure out if you want to tune in and have a good time. Well, some of the stuff I wanted to chat with you here about before we get back to the last end of the show is that a couple things I wanted to touch on. Be safe out there. There's a lot of wildfires going around. I've got an old buddy of mine that is evacuated down in Redding. Pay some attention to what's going around your house out there. You know, with the winds and everything else, it's pretty easy for a fire to pop up. So might not be a bad idea. You know, I know maybe you haven't been watering that grass here and outside the house, and it's pretty white. You might throw a little water on that thing to get that, if they'll allow you to. Now, if you can get that kind of dialed in and get it a little bit greener, it's going to keep that from being something that's going to easily burn. And these are all things that I like to do. That garden hose is not going to stop a wildfire. That's great advice right there, because I tell you what, I have been setting that garden hose on the roof of my house before. And I was living in the Tri-Cities, and if you're really good at going back in the Wayback Machine, you'll see a picture of me up on the roof of my house in the Tri-City Herald setting a sprinkler up there. And that was right before the PBY plane dropped the water and knocked me off my roof. So I'll tell you what, that was an interesting one. And the water coming out of those planes like that will nail you hard. Trust me, threw me about 20 feet. But those things, you got to be careful. So keep the bushes trimmed back, you know. Get things fairly well watered out there. Now, if you're in a water conservation area right now where you're in a drought, and watch those water days that you can do that with. But, you know, just keep things a little bit wetter and keep things, anything you can do like that by getting the dry brush and that, making sure you've got, you know, maybe wet that bark down a little bit more. Keep that stuff just a little damper out there. It's going to help keep things from catching on fire if you get into that situation. But those little details will help you out. Get those gutters clean, because if you've got gutters up there that have a bunch of dry stuff in it, that's just one big tinderbox. So a little work outside, keeping the grass mowed down. If you got some pasture out there, you know, keeping that down, keeping it low is all going to help you out. And I think that's why a buddy of mine's house was saved in that West Reading area out there where they've had the fires, because he's got horses and stuff around there. So he's kept that area, I think, pretty green. So it has saved his house. And I think that's some great advice. I hate seeing 500 buildings or 500 structures out there taken down. And I think when they get in there and start counting, there's going to be a lot more. So stay safe out there. We got another couple months of fire season left out there. We are early in the game. So unless we get some big rains out here, it's just going to keep getting drier, and anything's going to get that going. So I'd really like to see if we can keep it safe out there. As well as, I'm going to get on my soapbox here, keep those window locks for those kids. I don't want to see anybody falling out of windows right now. I know it's hot out there, but if you put those window locks on there, keep those kids from falling out of the windows. I'd like to see if we can run the rest of the year without a kid falling out a window and getting hurt or killed, because that is an important thing. And you can find that on my Facebook. I got a video showing you how to do it and how to make it that simple. $5 or $10 per window, and you got some great locks, and you're good to go. That's all the time we got for this week. Our thanks to executive producer Dane Vodder for making the show sound great, and to the ever wonderful Jeff Thomas and Steve Moffitt, who have the training wheels off and ran a beautiful show today. Welcome aboard, guys. Most of all, though, we want to thank you for listening. Want to join us next week from noon to two, where once again we talk about maintenance, repair, designing for remodeling, and renovation of your home. Until then, be sure you do what you love. Love what you do. This is the Radio Northwest Network. I'm Eric G, and you've been listening to Around the House.
We have some exciting news about the Around the House podcast. Do you want to be an Around the House insider? Our premium membership gives you early access to the weekend podcast, exclusive access to our back catalog of shows, special email access to me, Eric G, with your own home improvement questions with a priority email address, plus exclusive new shows and extended content. Click down into the podcast show notes for the link to the Around the House Insider membership for less than the price of a beer at happy hour. Join me for this limited amount of exclusive members. And thanks for listening to Around the House.